Hey there, welcome to Trans Experience, the podcast where real people from the trans community get together to share their stories, struggles, and victories.
Get ready for some genuine and relatable conversations that dive into the heart of the trans experience and beyond.
We have so much to share, so grab your headphones and let's dive into the awesome and diverse world of becoming and living our own truth.
Happy Pride from Trans Experience to all of our listeners. May this month remind you of the beauty of being yourself.
Hi there. Welcome to Trans Experience. This is Madison.
This is Tay.
And this is Salji.
And today we are going to be talking about representation. I think it's very important in almost any kind of community that is having issues in their demographics. But since we're all trans, we could talk about what it looks like to be trans and have representation in certain fields. I know for me, I'm going into kind of an executive job. And I know that where I was, the representation mattered because there wasn't very many of us. There was only one other trans girl who had just started. And I feel like seeing me doing what I was doing was able to, you know, help her understand that she can get there too. But my question is, what does representation look like to you, LG?
Well, I think that one of the reasons that I was able to keep my sobriety was because I've been trying to get sober since 2015. But I did it in LA. And, you know, I'm not saying that they were not warming, that they were not loving. They were. But there was always something lacking. I always went to straight meetings and all of that. I get here to Arizona and I go to a place called Lambda where they facilitate recovery meetings. And probably think it was after a month that I decided to get clean and sober again that I hear this girl speak. And her name was Eusebia. Now, I had never in my entire 7 years of trying to be recovered, have heard a trans woman share their story.
So when you're in LA, were you already in your like transition or were you in LA?
Yeah, but to come here and to see her and to hear her story, and I made this little joke because it really felt like that. She had my story, but her story was like with the Hollywood production budget and mine was like with a Sundance kind of budget. You know what I mean? Like she had the 5-star hotels, the Mercedes, you know, like I had the six motel, you know, like in the bikes. But you know what I mean? But I heard my story.
Yeah.
You know, and that gave me, that empowered me to keep going. And then I hear Ms. Regina speak, another trans woman. And then I was like, hold up, we do recover. So being able to find representation in places such as recovery, or in your case, a job, it's paramount for us to be able to succeed in life.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Tay?
Golly, mine's like yours started actually when I was in Texas. I think that the part of becoming more involved in my community as well as being trans and seeing the girls that I was locked up with in prison, seeing how far they, you know, some of these hood bitches where they were all hooded out. And they were trans and they were like on their shit. Then you got the real classy girls that got the injections. And then, you know, and then just seeing where these girls played their fields at in their life, their corporate life, their just whatever they got going on. And then moving out here, fortunately, meeting you two ladies, you guys played a big factor in my heart. I know seeing Algie at my first CMA convention ever in my freaking life kind of opened doors to see that this is what I wanted. Seeing her sit there in that black dress and was like, oh, I'm just this. It was like so cool.
LG,
and I'm like, yeah.
LG's chaotic in meetings. Yeah. Not gonna lie.
And then, then she would walk down the aisle and she did this spin in her dress, did like a little, like a spin. And it was, I was, and everybody was like, everybody kept telling me, you need to talk to her. You need to talk to her.
Stop it. I am so shy. I would never.
And no, but you know what's funny when you mention that is that, like for you guys, when I see a girl that is from my community, it's like two magnets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For myself, like I'm drawn to that and I want to be their friend. And a lot of times, you know, because we do have our little stigmas of each other. They're just like staring at you, like dogging you. But you're like, kind of like when we try to get our puppies together and my puppy was like, ew. And yours was like, I want to be your friend. I want to be your friend. And like, I'm your puppy. Yeah. You know, I'm like, I want to be your friend. And for the most part, like I had to learn how to approach another lady as well, because the last thing we want is for someone to clock us, as we say. But it's not because of that. I approached them because they, first of all, like, when I met Maddie, I didn't know she was trans.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I didn't. I did not know you were trans.
I didn't know you were trans either, because when I first met you too, when we were at Lambda and I seen you there, you had those pink tights. I remember everything when I first meet people. You had these pink tights on and then you had your hair up. And I was like, you had this white shirt on. And I was like, and you came in and you were just, everybody was so drawn to you. And I was like, oh my God. And then I was like, she's so sweet. And I was like, when is she going to come talk to me? And I was like, I'll wait patiently. And then she would go. And then she just walks past me. And she goes through these people sitting next to me. And I was like, oh, she don't see me. And I'm like over here sitting like two big Barneys. She was like, move, bitch. And then so I was like, then I think it was really somebody. I think it was, I forgot what her name was. She's really tall, too.
Is she native?
No, she's a lighter lady.
Robin?
No, she's not Robin.
Shelby.
No, not Shelby. Oh. She's really, really tall, like huge, and she got really short hair.
So, I mean, we should know. It is anonymity, though. Like, I know. Let's probably stop with the names.
I know.
You're right.
But anyway, you're right. But anyway, long story short, she was talking, and I went up to her because you were talking to her too while you guys were talking. And then that's when we started talking. And you're like, hey, well, I'm Madison and we should camp.
Yeah.
And then from that moment on, I was like, oh, yeah, this is really, I was like, I just was so drawn to the fact that you guys were in recovery. And it was like, at that moment, the drive that I had to be in recovery was what I wanted. Because there was like, to see girls and, you know, women that are not the same age as me doing this and that probably are more well advanced than I was when I first came into the doors. It was like it opened doors for me. And really, at the end of the day, this is like one of the reasons why two I probably have stayed sober the longest is because I have you two ladies like in my life where it's like, okay, I know that I can count on y'all. You know what I'm saying? And that's what drives me. And that's the representation that I'm looking for. And that's what I want to uphold when I have like my sponsees or like the girls that look up to me that are younger transitioning into this, you know, field, like it's a job or something. But
you're hired.
But no, like that
you
was,
start Monday.
But
welcome to Trans Experience.
That part. So I mean, that's what I look for. I mean, that's and I really truly want to be able to. I want girls to understand like it. It starts with the weirdest things, weirdest places, wherever places.
Yeah, I don't even remember that first meeting.
And then next thing, and then now it ventured into this big old thing that we have got going on. And you know, it amazes me like how far that, like when you are really about what you want to do in this kind of like again the job field.
Yeah,
you know, you can do things. You know,
yeah.
It's awesome to me.
I don't know. You want to say something?
Always.
Yeah. We know.
She's over here moving back and forth.
She literally got her finger in the air.
She's
like, somebody pay
attention. Back and forth. Yeah.
And I was like, hey, just keep talking.
I look like I'm landing a plane. Like, hey. No, but like something from what Tay said is brought two things up. I forgot one of them now. I remember one. So I guess 50-50. So once we come into places such as this, right, and someone plays a big role in our transitioning and living the life that we decided to live it, how much of a responsibility does it become for us to be able to give that representation back, to be able to be welcoming to other girls? Like, how do you represent?
Well, I think it's hard because for a lot of us, well, for me, I came in with a chip on my shoulder. You know, I came in thinking the world owed me something because I spent 35 years as a miserable human being. And I blamed the world for a lot of it. And so, like, I think the interaction at the beginning, and that's why I am kind of more reserved when I know that I'm dealing with another sister, another trans sister, because I understand that for me, I came in very, very guard up. And if you spoke to me, you're going to get punched. You know, because I spent so many years fighting just to be a part of something, even if it was not a group that I necessarily should be belong with, like a bar group or a drug group or, you know, like a church group even, you know, the one that was hurting me. Like, I kept going back because I just wanted to belong to something.
Mm-hmm.
And so then when I started using and drinking heavily, I found other trans sisters, but it was the same thing. It was all about using. You know, there was no sisterhood in it. And so I was convinced there was no such thing as sisterhood within the trans community. And I would call my mom all the time and tell her, like, why can't I just find a trans friend? Every trans friend I had, it ended up in a fist fight. But the common denominator was we were both high and drunk, mm-hmm. you know? Okay. So, but I wasn't really in early recovery. I didn't understand that common denominator. I didn't realize that common denominator even existed. So I came into every friendship with a trans person with a guard up and ready to blow, ready to throw blows, mm-hmm. you know? And so like I go in super soft. I usually don't even make the first introduction because I just know how I felt. And so I feel like if I go in softer, and this is a problem though, because if I go in too soft, they're going to think I'm not interested, like with Tayden. You know, I should have just immediately gone over and introduced myself. And I didn't because of my fear that I had coming into the rooms. You know, so there's, you know, there's that too.
I get that.
What about for you, Tay? Like, how do you represent who you are in open doors for other girls that are coming behind you?
I'm going to tell you guys a story. When I was coming back from Texas, I was on the Greyhound and there was a girl on there that was getting bullied by these guys. And she was trans, mm-hmm. but she looked kind of, you know, she's still butch.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it hurt my heart because I'm unclockable and the guys were trying to hit on me, but the whole time I'm trans. But the girl that was trans was getting bullied. Mm-hmm. So the whole time they were going in and then they had this other girl, she was making fun of her. So I just got up out of my seat and I kind of just went off, like not like in a bad way where I wanted to fight them. But I told them like, hey, I said, you were just trying to holler at me and I'm trans. And they were like, what? And I said, exactly. I said, so therefore, why are you not treating me the way you're treating her? I said, that's not cool. So either you guys can leave her the hell alone, or we're going to have problems because these are not the problems that you want. I'm good. I was like, I'll get down with you in this bus.
Catch these hands.
Like, for real. And so I live by that. So it's like when I see girls, not even if they're downfalling, but even if they're like trying to be something that they don't know how to get to where they need mm-hmm. to be, I want to be either the big sister or the little sister, be like, yeah, uplift them, you know? And I want to be able to be like, well, girl, this is how I know. This is just a suggestion that I have.
Yeah.
You know, I do it like this. You know, I walk like this, or mm-hmm. I put my hair up like this, you know, or chink my eyes, you know, a little bit, yeah. or, you know, and that's how I feel like when I meet new girls or I see them in the rooms, I'm like, hey, I learned that, like what you said, like the ego part, that pride, that wall that I used to have mm-hmm. up, like, I don't want to fuck with this bitch. She, yeah. You know, we might mm-hmm. fight.
Mm-hmm. Why are you looking at me when you're saying that?
But she's so pointy. I mean, like, I don't like this bitch. Like, But from now on, like, I just will be like, I love the fact that I could just go up to somebody and be like, hey, my name is, mm-hmm. and then go from there,
yeah.
you know, and build relationships like that.
Yeah. One of the things that Madison was mentioning before we started was how each of us represent different trans women, you know, not just ethnically, geographically.
Come on, ESL.
Right, baby. Geographically, but spiritually, you know, in the way that we approach things is so different. You know, for mm-hmm. example, your approach is more subtle, more like mm-hmm. I'm right here if you want to talk, like mm-hmm. I'm open. She's like, who's messing with you? Like she's literally more like hands yeah. on the job.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I'm a bit more, I think that my approach is direct.
Well, no, you have an aggressive positivity. Is how I would put it. Is because
oh, I love that.
That's who you are, though. You're so positive. You're so beautiful in the way that you talk to other people, but you're very aggressive about it. And I don't think aggressive necessarily has a negative connotation here. There are some things that are positively aggressive. I mean, that dick last night was positively aggressive.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that one more time? Hold on. I'm starting to feel like I'm the... You know. Here's the thing, like, I'm no saint. Okay? I'm like the biggest... Break porn. Okay. But when it comes to, and Callie, I'm sorry, you're not here, sis, but you too. When it comes to Callie, Madison, and like they be getting laid, bro. Like,
it's been 6 months since I've had it, okay?
Well, I just had some last night.
I'm saying that.
I know you both did. Like,
Callie and Tay are the ones that are
in
just
the
like,
same place?
Yeah, no. But no, I mean, I think that you have a positive, aggressive nature to you, and that is what draws people in. And the world needs more of that.
Exactly.
You know, I wish I could find a way to be more aggressive in it. I have to warm up to you a little bit. I really do. Unless you're my family, I have to warm up to you. I have to understand that I can trust you. And once that's given, we're off to the races. As you guys know, like, anybody at the room with Lambda will tell you, I'm a completely different person now. I'm more myself now. But I'm definitely reserved when you first get to know me. And you were going to say?
Yeah, because like how when I met Algie, she, like what you said, she's really aggressively, like that's her nature.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I went up to her, because I was like, I wanted to, I went up to her and I was like, hey, I went up to her and I was like, I need a signature. She grabbed the card up. She said, come on, girl, we're going to go. And we didn't even say hi, my name is. She just grabbed my card and started running around the whole building. And then she started getting people's signatures. I don't even know who these people were. And I'm like, she knows them. And then next thing you know, I won. And then what made me enjoy that moment was because she was jumping up and down. Yeah! Yeah! I was like, okay,
I've learned to celebrate my sisters. Mm-hmm. You know, I truly had to learn that, because as with you guys, like, there was always the envy, the jealousy, you know, like, oh my God, no, this bitch didn't kind of thing. But when I came back into recovery this time around, and that's why I said representation was so important, because Ms. Regina and Eusebia made it possible for me to, first of all, to admit that this was possible for me as well. Mm-hmm. Secondly, especially with Ms. Regina, the way that she embraced me, I learned to embrace my sister. Mm-hmm. And the beautiful thing about that is that just the same way that, as Madison say, my approach is more positively aggressively, I think that sounds right. Okay. Your approach helps those who identify with you.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so important. That's why, like, I love the fact that we're so diverse, because we reach out to different geographics. Again.
Here we go. Come on, yes, now.
Geographics, ethnicities, races, creeds, beliefs, because we are so different, mm-hmm. that people can identify with either Tay, you, or myself, or Patty. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think that's what we're trying to get to. Is that being yourself allows somebody else to be them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Because I was sharing that, because I'm cutting you off right now, because I started this conversation by telling you, like, I had to realize that what you have to offer is excellent, but what I have to offer is excellent too. Mm-hmm. But because I was so intimidated by the aggressive, positive nature of who you are and how quickly people are drawn to you, that's intimidating for someone like me who doesn't necessarily feel like I draw anybody in. You know, like Tay was saying that earlier that I didn't, like, I love that, because I don't feel like I do that. Like, I know you know that about yourself, LG, and I love that you know that about yourself, because the world needs it. But for me, it was, I had to understand that not everyone is going to be in the same room the same way as the person that you are, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I couldn't relate to you in that aspect. Like, when I share, early days, it was very rare that I shared. But when I did, I would only do it when you weren't there. Because I felt like I wasn't going to share as good as you. Mm-hmm. When really, my share is just as good, because it's mine. And I had to understand that. And so I think that's why it's so important that we have such a diverse group of our geographic, whatever you call it.
Graphics.
That's it. Because it gives everyone the opportunity to feel like they're seen and heard also.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I think that being able to... See, here's the thing. Finding the representation doesn't mean that I have to become those who I look up to. Mm-hmm. It just gives me the strength to become who I am, because they're so honestly and organically themselves, mm-hmm. that it leaves a safe space for me to be able to be me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? One of the things that I love about where I work in Lambda and with you guys is that I know that it's hard for you guys to believe, but I am really shy. That day when we met, Tay, I didn't know most of those people, but I approached them because I was with my sister.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And my sister needed me. So therefore I had to become the strength, and we all did win. I did fake the last signature. I was early in recovery. I've changed. But to see my sister win, it pushed me to want to do better. You know what I mean? I didn't want to become like Tay, nor did I want to become like you. Mm-hmm. But there were a lot of principles and a lot of behaviors that you guys displayed that I admire. You know what I mean? You're joyful. You're quite etiquette when you speak. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. And I love that. So it pushes me to be better, to not become a version of you, mm-hmm. but to utilize what you have, mm-hmm. to improve who I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what I had to learn the hard way. You know, I had to take all those emotions of not feeling good enough, or like I wasn't going to say it right, or I was going to say the wrong thing. I had to cut that shit out. I had to stop those voices and move them along. And I think it's important to, like you're saying, is that these people that have created these paths, you know, like Marsha P. Johnson, Stonewall, you know, they're creating these paths for us to jump on, but we can start in their lane and then create our own. And I think that's the whole point of representation is allowing these people, you know, like me right now with my job, like I'm going to start a whole new lane and I'm going to keep doing my thing, but the girl behind me is going to start my footsteps and then she's going to veer off and do her thing. And I think that's why representation becomes such a necessary thing, because growing up, all I knew of trans women were they were either hookers or they were dead. There was no in between.
Or dead hookers.
And so, like, there was no in-between. And so, like, growing up, I thought, well, I don't want to be any of that. I definitely related to the character that looked like a woman with a beard because, of course, they show her in the worst light on TV because she's been out for 3 days, strung out. She's growing her beard out, you know, but she's got a miniskirt on. You know, like, that's not what it is. Like, for some, it is, and that was me in my addiction. But I had to understand that I can be trans and I can be successful. And I can have friends, and I can have all these things, you know, at one time. And I think that's why representation means so much now.
And you know what? I love that you come up with this trans experience is the human experience, mm-hmm. because representation, as important as it is for trans women, it's important for any aspect of mm-hmm. culture, race, creed, you know, gender, like being able to identify yourself with somebody else and being able to see someone of your culture. For example, yesterday I saw this girl from, she was born in Guatemala, but she was adopted by some American people and she went to American Idol and she sang beautifully, you know, and I had never seen someone from Guatemala in that show. So even that little thing right there, mm-hmm. like I was like, oh, I'm there.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Like, it is so important for us to be able to represent not only those who don't have a voice, but those who are not willing to speak for themselves yet. And it's like raising a child. You know, I don't think that you raise a child to make them like you or dependent of you. The main goal is to get that child to be able to live without you and to be themselves. It's the same thing when I see one of my sisters. I don't want my sisters to be like, mm-hmm. I want my sisters to become the best version of themselves. And it's lovely to see it because once we start to learn to celebrate each other, mm-hmm. like you getting that job, like I'm mm-hmm. fucking loving it.
Yeah. Well, we have three things in common at this table. We're trans, we're in recovery, and we want people to just have better choices than we had. Mm-hmm. And after that, though, our similarities stop.
And that's the thing, though. That's the representation that I'm seeking. Like, I know that we come from three different total backgrounds, but the stuff that we went through is what I wouldn't want somebody else to go mm-hmm. through. You know, the fact that I was in prison taking hormones and doing my hormone, you know, my transitioning like that. Like, I wish I could have had somebody like what we did and talked about it and mm-hmm. had resources mm-hmm. and, you know, been able to be that vessel for somebody that doesn't know what's going on, to come into it and then just go straight, full-fledged, right, without having any struggles, you know? That's the representation that I have today. Like, I want to be able to speak through this platform and be able to let the generation coming up after me to know that, like what LG used to tell me, we had the girls before us that paved the way for us, mm-hmm. you know? And I want to be one of those idols. I want to be one of those old grown folks, you know, those elderlies, because we are.
Speak for yourself. But you know what? It's so beautiful that even in jail, you were able to find someone to give you the best guidance that they could at that time. Because without them, you wouldn't probably hadn't start. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So like being able to, even in jail, even in any place, being able to find representation is crucial. Mm-hmm. It makes you feel safe. It allows you to be yourself. It allows you to grow.
And I think on the flip side of that, though, that when you know you're now the representation, that's a responsibility. It's not a title. It's a responsibility. And I think that we have some girls that have kind of lost their way, specifically Dylan Mulvaney. We're back to that. Mm-hmm. But it's a really good way to kind of show people the man. Yeah, you're
oh, my God.
Yes. But it's a really good way to paint the picture.
Maybe should start like sponsoring us. Yeah. We speak more of her than we speak of him.
Yeah.
You mean
but,
him?
That's a good way to paint the picture that's not what you do when you have that responsibility. You know, you don't abuse it the way that she has.
Yeah.
And so I think that once you know that you're in that spot, you do have a responsibility in when you're outside in the world to carry yourself a certain mm-hmm. way. You know, I mean.
And I agree. I applaud that. It's because it's like, when I go places and I meet people, like my job, when I get there, I don't think it's nobody's business for them to know, because, you know, I work for the state. Like, I don't want people to know what I am. But then when they come around me and they start asking questions, you know what I'm saying? It's like, well, then that's when I have to, and it's like, either do I want to tell them or do I not want to tell them? And that's the representation that I have, so that if other girls come in and they come into that type of area, they don't have to go through what I have to, because they already know. And I let people know, like, yes, I am this, I'm that, I'm this, my name is so-and-so, Cooch Pop, whatever, this is who I am. Yes.
No,
so,
hearing that name, girl.
I will say the name, but then we have a listener that absolutely loves when you go off like that. Like, he said, it's the funniest thing ever. I will say his name, but I love that, because he told me that. I was like, what? I was like, I told him, like, she sits at the table, she's like, head flopping, and she's like, her hands are doing this number, up and down, you get crazy with the Cooch Pop.
You're gonna trademark that fucking word. And what I am most excited about is, like, when I go into my job and I get to be this vessel for a position that's where I'm at today, it kind of, like, it's like the best feeling, is because there's already another girl that's at my job that is trans too, you know what I'm saying? But I don't want to say her name, because then I'll go against my job. But she, every time, and she is so awesome to me. Like, when I come to work, she'd be like, hey, girl, what's up, girl? And she's always all for me every day. What's up, girl? She's like, she's around all the other girls, but when she sees me, it's like a whole nother, it's a whole atmosphere.
It is. It's, you know? The energy changes when you're with sisters that you know that have gone through the same experiences. So, I have a question, though, because you brought up work. And so my question is, like, would you ever recommend someone that is trans over someone else for a job?
Please join us next week for the conclusion of Trans Representation.
Thank you for listening to another episode. We hope you enjoyed it and will find the time to leave a comment with your feedback.
You can like us and follow us on facebook.com/transexperience3.
Also, feel free to email us at transexperience3@gmail.com. Thank you.